This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, you know, hopefully you had yourself a very happy Labor Day. We haven't had a chance to talk to you about the game, Michigan State-Boise State game that took place Friday night. A very good game, a very, very challenging game for Michigan State. They were tested. They rose to the occasion. They made plays that they had to make. And it was a close game. We all thought it would be sort of close. I thought it could potentially be a shutout, or it could be, even a larger margin than what I thought it was going to be. But it still, it was a good game. The defense played well. The offense played well. Andrew Maxwell, in his very first start, played okay. He knows he got to improve somewhat, but he played okay in his first start. So it was a good outing for the Michigan State. And the bottom line is they won the game, and that's what counts. It's definitely always part of it is always how you play the game, but you have to win too. So people won't be upset if you lose. I mean, people will get upset when you lose, but when you win, that takes a lot of that sting out if you play poorly. But they played well. Michigan State played well. They ran the ball extremely well, of course, and that's what the game plan just went just like about like everybody thought it would. They would open up the run and just pound them on the ground, which is what they did. They ran very well against Boise State and Michigan State. They did some passing. Maxwell threw the ball. Sometimes he threw it pretty hard. He threw it rather hard. But other than that, he played overall a good game. There was a good game last night, if you got a chance to see that Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech game. Virginia Tech won 20-17. So that ended up being a very good game as well. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here at AM 870. WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And we'd love to talk with you. And I haven't had a chance to talk with many of you, but let's go to the phones now. We've got JC on the line. JC, how you doing,
buddy?
Okay.
And you're right. The win's a win.
Yep.
And I, there's a couple things I understand, though, about these new rules. They kicked the ball off the 35 last year. They moved it up so it prevent more run backs so guys wouldn't get hurt out of the end zone.
Right.
Now you get the ball to 25, which is discouraging the guy to kick it in the end zone to make him run it back. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, they're doing everything basically, as you said, they're doing everything because of safety. They're trying to make
right. But if you get the ball out to 25 instead of the 20, if I'm the guy that's kicking off, I'm going to kick it down to one and try to tackle him inside the 25 now.
Yeah, that's hard to do. I mean, that's hard to do, just kicking it down to the. Most people can't place it like that.
So they can kick it down to 5 or 10.
Yes, if they don't have a strong leg.
Yeah, they can do that all day, those guys. And also, I guess I don't understand if your helmet comes off and it wasn't pulled off by another play, you have to come out for a play.
Right.
How long does it take to put a helmet on? 2 seconds?
2-5 seconds? I don't know how long exactly.
I mean, the guy's walking back to huddle. Have you ever seen a game held up because the guy couldn't put his helmet on? No.
No.
It's idiotic. Okay, say you got 3rd and 10 minute to go in the game, the quarterback's helmet comes off, and he's the man. And they don't, you know, and it's a crucial game and everything. So the quarterback's got to come out for that play, that 3rd and 10.
Yep.
It just helps. Yeah, see, it just don't make sense, bro. Come on. I know the NCAA does it, and we both agree to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
but
do
can
it.
Can
they...
you explain to me what's the reason behind that?
Well, you know, that's safety is why. They're just being cautious. They want to make sure he gets his helmet on. He's got it on right. So they do everything right to make sure that when he goes back in the game, that helmet beyond, you know, as opposed to sometimes some guys you might see that they'll slip it on and they won't have the chin strap secured sufficiently. And so that's what a lot of it. So they're doing
right.
That as well.
Right, but I know that if a guy's in chin strap, say the bottom two aren't snapped, they won't let him run the play. They'll stop it, say, and say, you got to snap it up and then start.
Yep.
I don't know what the big deal is, I guess.
Well, they're just doing
it. I guess they may explain to me why that rule is.
Well, you know, they're doing everything like you already mentioned. They're doing everything for safety. Everything is basically done for safety these days.
Well, it's going to come down or a quarterback's head, yeah, helmet's going to come off.
And it might sometimes.
Third and seven, where he's got to pass the ball, and the guy's a stud passer, and they have to put the second stringer in. And there's going to be some really people mad.
Well, yeah, if it doesn't work, yeah.
Thanks, Gerald.
Okay, thank you, JC. Yes, that could, but you got to remember, all the rules today are now geared to safety and just to make the game safer for the players, and hopefully they won't get hurt. I saw a couple of hits in games last night. They were unintentional, but guys were not leading with their heads. It looked like they were leading with their heads, their helmets. Some guys hit on the other on the opposition with their helmet, and so that hurt them a little bit. So that's part of it, but it's all done for safety. And if you can get it done, if you can do it for safety and get everybody on the same page, and hopefully everybody will you know, if you're doing it for safety, which is good, you know, and that's the bottom line. You want to make the game as safe as you can. You're trying to cut down on concussions in college as well as the pros. So everybody's wanting to cut down on the concussions and any other factor that could be detrimental to players. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell your friends, your neighbors, and everyone you know. You can enjoy sports every single afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. Hey, Aaron, how you doing, buddy? And let's get your take there on that input. You know, everything is being done on safety these days in the sport.
Yeah, you know, I agree with the caller, though. I think it would happen a couple times in the Michigan State game that the helmets came off both sides. Mm-hmm. And then I caught a couple other games throughout the weekend, obviously, you know, start of the season. You got to catch some of those other games as well. And I counted at least 10 helmets that came off between all the games that I caught. And, you know, I kind of agree with the guy. I understand when they would show them, because every single time the helmet came off, the commentators, hey, the new rule is they got to go out for one play. So the camera would show the guy go to the sideline, mm-hmm. and usually your equipment managers or whatever you want to call them would come over to say, hey, is something wrong with your helmet? I mean, at least 99% of the time, guy's like, no, and he just threw it right back on. I understand it's for the safety part, but where's the safety in it? I mean, the helmet comes off, I get that. But the reality is, most of the time, the guys can put it back on. If you can't get it on or you can't strap it on right, obviously you're going to go off the field, because if you can't get it on, you can't get it on. That's plain and simple. But going out for one play, I don't understand that. And I understand they're trying to, you know, make it more safer for players. But where does the safety come in here? I don't understand that part of it.
Well, as you know, it comes in basically because like you just said, sometimes they're checking to see how they get the helmet back on. Does it work? They're asked by the equipment man, is it on okay? Does it work right? And like you said, they'll say okay, you know, it's fine. But you know, that safety, they want to make sure that they have it on right. I mean, you know, they might put it on, but sometimes they may not get it on right. So, the equipment manager will be there, and they'll be there, and they'll just make sure that the player does it right and the helmet's on securely. So, it's not a big deal, but, it is a part of safety, and you just want to make sure it's done right. Because if it wasn't, and then, you know what you'd hear if somebody had a helmet on and it wasn't on right, or it came off again on the next play, you'd really hear it then. So you got to do things for safety. It may not be the most advantageous or good, but, it's one of those things that you almost have to do.
Yeah, I understand that, but he also makes a good point. I can guarantee you sometime this season in an important game, a ranked game, it's going to come down where a player's going to have to go out, an important player, a key player, a quarterback, someone, is going to have to come out because of the previous play, because the helmet came off. And it's going to be because of a reason that physics defined why the helmet came off, not because there's something wrong with the helmet, because physics somehow managed to pop the helmet off the player. That person's going to have to sit out a play because of that, because of the rule. And then, someone's going to gripe about that. So, I mean, yeah. I understand that certain rules, every time there's a rule, not everyone's going to be happy. I understand that. But this one, I have a little trouble accepting. I don't get me wrong. I want safety for players. But, and I understand, the equipment manager's coming over and checking. And there was a couple times, though, too, that the equipment manager didn't come over. They just went off the sideline quick, stood by the coach, whoever the play caller was, the coach, put it right back on, and then went right back out on the next play. I mean, no one even came over to check. So they're not enforcing that the equipment managers come over and check for them. That's probably dependent on the team, and they could be working, the manager, equipment manager could be working on someone else at that time. So the fact that they're not even forcing them to check the helmets, you have to enforce someone to check these helmets when they come off. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose because the players aren't going to check. They're just going to throw it back on and ready to go.
Yep. Throw it back on, strap it up, and they're good to go for the next play, and they'll just have to miss a play. But you can say that's part of the game as well. You're going to miss a play during a game or a couple of plays. But in that situation, you'll just have to miss one play. Hopefully, it won't hurt you. Hopefully, it won't. But that's one of those things. Hopefully it won't hurt you if you do have to miss a play. Hopefully you can come back the next time around and do a good job for your team on the next play. The time is 19 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. You are listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing.
Egypt's new president took a series of bold steps in recent weeks. He defied the country's military rulers, bombed Islamic militants in the Sinai, chose China as his first overseas trip in office, and now comes out in full support of the rebels in Syria, all while promising major changes at home. I'm Neil Conan, The New Egypt, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Partly sunny skies this afternoon with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-60s. Then for Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms until midday, and then those showers and thunderstorms are likely in the afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. This is Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free. 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, though, we need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And we're here to talk with you, talk sports with you, talk about the rules. And as you know, I know a lot of people, I heard that, like from Aaron and our caller and other callers, you know, a lot of the rules are made for safety. And, you know, that's what we're looking at. And, you know, but, you know, you may not like it, but unfortunately, they're all about safety. Right now, let's bring in our next guest, Jillian Van Stratt. And she works for SpartanMag.com. And Jillian, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, we were talking. We had a caller up, and also the person that phoned you, Aaron. They don't like that rule where you have to set out for a play. You know, you have to miss one play in the game. Like we saw a lot of players missing a play when the helmet comes off. And I said, that's just one of those rules that are for safety. And the caller said, well, you know, it might be 3rd and 10 in a game. I said, well, that's part of the game. You might have to miss a play like that because of safety. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I do understand the caller's frustration with a player having to come out and set a play for that. But you're right. I mean, just what we've seen in the last few years with concussions, all the science behind it and all the concerns there, I think that a player's health, especially when it comes to concussions and head injuries, has to be number one. It may come down to a fact where it could affect the play or a game. I think that's just something that we may have to kind of accept in order to preserve safety, because it just has to be the number one concern for people right now.
Yes, it really does. Because we're out there. We see a lot of guys taking hits and getting hits, and you have to you do have to be cautious these days. And that's just the way it is, and that's the game. I mean, personally, I'm glad that they're taking these extra precautions for the safety of the players.
It's true. They've got to do something, and they're trying to be proactive. So I understand the intention behind the rule. And those sort of things will get sorted out over time, whether or not it's the helmet technology that I like Aaron did see some helmets, you know, coming off, maybe more than we're used to. But I think that all the intentions are good there, you know, from the doctors and from the people, the powers that be to try to ensure players' safety. So
that's for sure. Well, Jillian, what did you think about the game Friday night?
You know, I think it was a big day for Michigan State to be in the national spotlight, to have that Friday night game. I love what Hollis is doing with that, the two Friday night games 2 years in a row. I think it's a great day to be on campus, and it's a great initiative to allow people to have their Labor Day weekend around the state and be able to still travel and have that time. But I'm sure there was a lot of anticipation going into that Boise State game.
Yes, it was.
You know, big opponent. A lot of pressure. People have been waiting since the Outback Bowl ended for that game. So, and I think that anticipation and the type of opponent they played with Boise State led to a lot of excitement that some people probably didn't feel was necessarily equaled on the game end. But I love defense. So personally, I was satisfied with that performance.
Well, that's where we're on the same page with that one. I like that as well. I love defense, and it was a well played defensive game. And I didn't think Andrew Maxwell was okay. I mean, he wasn't great. He was just okay. But for his first game out, you know, he did an adequate job. I think he's got to learn how to take a little bit off the ball because boy, he was throwing some bullets out there.
He was definitely throwing some bullets. He showed he's got a hose for sure. And as we just talked to him, you know, in the last hour here at Spartan Stadium, he told all of us that he writes down, and I believe all the players do before every game, 5 goals on a goal sheet. And his number one goal is to be a good decision maker. And he felt that on those 3 first half interceptions that he had, that it wasn't about bad decision making. And I think that's an important thing to note. I mean, the first one was unfortunate, zipped it in on a glance route to Tony Lippitt, and, you know, kind of came off his hands. The defender was right there, picked it up. That's not a bad decision by Andrew Maxwell. Also, when he threw kind of the 3rd interception a little bit behind Benny Fowler, he said that one was just inaccuracy. And that's something that he can correct. So I think you, in the first game, no matter who you're playing, you're always going to see some kinks being worked out, some things being corrected. Bad decision making is a harder thing to correct than inaccuracy and routes and things of that nature. So I think those are the type of things that get worked out with every team across the country in the first week. And I believe Andrew Maxwell will most likely correct those as soon as this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think so as well. So one thing I think I saw the offensive line, sometime their pass blocking wasn't up to snuff. I mean, it was okay most of the time, but did you think that the pass blocking left a little bit to be deserved? Not a lot to be desired, but a little bit.
Well, Maxwell wasn't on the ground all night, so suppose that. But I think also you got to credit Boise State's defense. I mean, Boise State is kind of just people associate them with a prolific offense, but they have had a good defense over all this time, and credit to them for having good defense and getting pressure on Andrew, but he did have some time to throw, and sometimes also he was pressured and he had to get rid of it a little quicker. But I think the offensive line for the first game out played good and showed that they are going to be able to kind of enforce their will and get the run game going, which is their ultimate goal, and I think that their focus point.
We know the defense played well. How did you view how the defense played?
I'll tell you what. I think that's kind of – it's almost not being talked about enough. People kind of, they were excited, and maybe they were picturing this because of Boise State averaging over the last decade 41 point some odd points a game. I mean, this isn't just 1 year's statistics. For a decade, they've been averaging over 40 points a game, and the defense held them without an offensive touchdown. That is such a statement, and I think does live up to a billing that's full of a lot of high expectations for this defense to shut them down in the second half. To shut Boise State down is, I think, incredibly impressive.
Yes, I know Boise State, well, we both know they had a lot of stars. They had to replace eight and nine players, and they really played well for having to replace so many players. I know they have some good players in the trenches already, but they came and did a pretty good job losing so many starters from last year.
It's true, and it's definitely going to take time for them to break in. You know, they have they have a new offensive coordinator and they have a new quarterback, and that's obviously going to take some time, go through some growing pains, but I think some important things to look at with the defense was how they adapted and reacted to times where when the offense had a Michigan State offense had a turnover that left the defense going right back out on the field in the red zone. They were able to hold them to a field goal, which I think Narduzzi told us afterwards. That's not one of those things that they hold against the defense, those 3 points scored in that scenario. They also had a successful trick play where they got it down against Johnny Adams. The quarter itself would put it in the perfect spot, and they completed that pass inside the red zone, and Michigan State again was able to hold them to a field goal. So I think looking at those things, you've got to see it as a successful outing for Michigan State's defense against a top opponent.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, let's go ahead to next week against Central Michigan. How do you see this game? I mean, Central Michigan had an easy game. They won their opening game. Do you see Central Michigan maybe giving a state a little bit of a game coming up this week?
Well, you know, those Chippewas make Spartan fans nervous, and rightly so because of the history. But I think more than just kind of the X's and O's of the game, I think this Celebrate the State initiative, I just feel like I want to talk about that because I think that what Hollis did with that is kind of almost been underreported and undervalued. You know, we talk about all the time, and I think it's pretty evident there's so many decisions in college football are based on this big business of college football. You know, it's about getting wins. It's about scheduling in order to make sure that, you know, you're getting enough points in the BCS and things like that. And what he did and what I'm sure a lot of other people worked hard to do, I think the fact that Michigan State is going to Mount Pleasant and will be in Kalamazoo in 2014 and then in Ypsilanti, I think that is actually maybe that decision right there and that project took more courage than, you know, the Carrier Classic and playing on Air Force Deck or new video screens and all the things that get the big publicity that come down to the AD. But I think that Mount Pleasant's going to be a really big day, have a really big day in Mount Pleasant, economically and just entertainment-wise. And I think that all could have stayed in East Lansing, and no one would have thought twice about it. But to go to those other communities in the state, I mean, Central has the most players from Michigan on their roster of any university in the state. They've got 68 players, I believe, from Michigan. Michigan State has 50. So that's 118 players that are homegrown and from this state that are going to be playing in Mount Pleasant with their families. And I think that's pretty huge, especially when it's been, you know, it's been tough times economically and stuff for this state, and it would have been a lot easier to schedule something else. And I think that that was a really courageous and progressive move on the fact of Mark Hollis.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, we're looking forward to this game. I was talking about Jack Ebling and I are going to ride down to that game next week.
And it I might have to jump in on that, Earl.
Yeah, you can jump in with us. So, so I'm looking forward. That should be a good game. You know, I talk with Dan almost every summer. I haven't talked with him. I've tried to get him hold of him this week, but we almost talking. He knows he's got a tough job ahead of him. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he's got to, you know, as a coach, as you know, every coach believes they can win every game going in. You can't coach a game and thinking you're going to lose. So, you know, they're going into that game thinking, and he's got so many quarterbacks. I mean, it's amazing how many quarterbacks he has on his roster.
Yeah. And I think people, Ryan Radcliffe, his quarterback right now, has been kind of subtly rising up the historic numbers for Central all time, and he's pretty much right under Dan Lefevre in every passing category that they have. And people remember Dan Lefevre and the success that he had there at quarterback. So in their game last week, they played Southeast Missouri State, but their junior running back, Tipton, had a career day, much like Le'Veon Bell had a career day here, ran for 180 yards, and looks like Enos has possibly taken a little bit of that Michigan State book with him and does intend to pound the rock. So we'll see. That's going to easily be the toughest run defense that they're going to go against in Michigan State, but it does look like they've established the running game and are planning to stick to that.
Yes, that's the thing with, I guess we're not sure if the fans have really accepted what Dan's trying to do. I mean, when you change your whole offense like he changed, went from that spread offense to a standard offense like he does, and he had to recruit players and so they're still trying to get players that fit that offense and can play that way, and that's a tough chore when you don't have. 5 to 6 years, but change that one. You need, he's going to have to do it. You know, if he doesn't win, definitely if he doesn't win next year, he might be gone. But, when you're changing a whole offense, that's really a tough job.
It's true. And I think it really does take the fans have to embrace it. And a lot of fans will prefer, spread offenses, high scoring, because that entertainment value does give them a high level of satisfaction in the game. And as we all know, it does come down to wins, and it's an incredibly tough business to survive in. But like you said, you talk to Dan all the time. Dan Enos is a good man, and that's important these days to have, but doesn't always help you keep your job.
Right.
He's a great guy. He's a great recruiter, and sometimes it takes patience on behalf of, your administration and your fans to give a guy time. I think that if Dan Enos was allowed, an open-ended contract, that he would eventually have success at Central Michigan. There's no doubt in my mind, because he's a good coach, he's a good man, and he recruits well. But there's not a lot of patience to go around sometimes in college football. You know that, Earl.
Right. There was a time, all coaches would be given that 4 to 5 years to get their whole recruiting class in. And now it's down to 3 years. I mean, if you don't win in that first 3 years, you're more than likely you're gone or you're definitely going to be on notice. But that's the way sports is now. And especially even at the Central Michigans now. At first, it was always like the Notre Dames and such. You had 3 years or less, maybe 4 years. But now even the smaller schools are getting in on the same thing. If you don't win at the smaller schools, now you're just about can be looking out the door.
It's true, and I'm not sure that I can't speak for Central fans because I don't know all of them, but I'm not sure that they were completely pleased with a Michigan State guy heading in, but, to each his own, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, they may not have been pleased, but, they They knew after Kelly left. I mean, yeah, they knew in Jones left, Kellyanne Jones. Then they just went back and went the other way. And boy, and Dan just took an awful. He probably could have stayed, you know, and ran that spread. He knows how to run a spread, but he wanted to go conventional, and he took the chance of going conventional. And boy, that's taking a big chance. I mean, hopefully the administration will give him that long, maybe give him at least two more years to get everything in that he wants to do.
Yeah, and I think that people saw this weekend in watching college football that the MAC is not some easy conference to just go out and dominate. I mean, we see what Ohio did in state college, and you see the teams around the country and how the MAC schedules and how the MAC competes. And there's a lot of great talent in the MAC, and you get people in the NFL draft every year coming out of the MAC. So it's a tougher conference than sometimes people nationally give it credit for.
That's for sure. And that's one thing about the MAC. I found out a few years back, every MAC team has an indoor facility. For a long while, every MAC team didn't have an indoor facility. But now everyone's got an indoor facility, and that's really helped MAC in their recruiting and in their play. They get to play, practice year-round. So that's been a big help for them, getting everybody has an indoor facility now.
Absolutely. I mean, it does come down to facilities a lot in terms of not just being able to do what you want to do, but definitely, like you said, in recruiting, facilities make a difference. So I think that Michigan State will be fine this weekend, but, you know, like you said, CMU's on the schedule for Spartans. That brings a certain level of nerves with it just based on the history. They know Danny is a good coach, but I think it's going to be such a great day in Mount Pleasant that shouldn't be overlooked. And I expect Michigan State's defense to make it pretty difficult for Central to be able to put points on the board.
Yeah, yes, that'll be hard. Hey, what about when you look at this game between Central and Michigan State? I just have to wonder, you know, because I know Central's, they're better than they were last year. But the question is, how much better are they there? Have you looked at any film? Are you able to judge how much, if they are better, or how much they are better this year, maybe in the early goings?
Well, I didn't see their game from last week, but in all the reading and everything that I've looked at, one thing that's interesting that it's hard for any team to do is, interestingly enough, Central was the only team in the FBS last week to record zero penalties, which is interesting in the face of the fact that, you know, Mark D'Antonio talked about today and people were aware, his number one goal for this week is kind of to focus on eliminating penalties and mental errors. And Michigan State, you know, after 1 week, went right to the bottom of the Big Ten rankings in terms of how penalized they were. I believe they had 10 penalties for 90 yards, where Central had zero. And that no matter who you play, no matter who you are, it is difficult to eliminate all penalties. So I don't know that evens the playing field between the two of them, but a well-coached, disciplined, smart football team who has no penalties is a difficult team to beat sometimes. And so I think that D'Antonio is right in kind of circling that area of mental errors and penalties, and you can maybe even throw turnovers into that mix. With that, if they're able to eliminate that, they'll be fine, but it's scary to go against a team who has been able to eliminate those things no matter who the opponent. So Dan Enos is obviously doing something right there to be able to get his players disciplined to the point to have zero penalties.
So. Yes, well, let's hope he continues. We know Michigan State's going to have a tough time up there, and especially the first time playing up there, that's even going to make it even tougher for the Spartans. But that's a challenge that they've got to face, and I know Central will be better. I mean, we got to see, too, how Michigan State in their next game, because they're going to have to see a little bit of improvement in the passing game. I don't know whether it be throwing softer or just getting the passes in, but we've got to see some improvement there. The defense we know is good. The defense is straight. They should be solid. But the other aspects of the game, they just have to, you know, there's nothing major that they got to correct, but they're just basically small things they've got to correct and get better.
Well, like all the coaches say, that's the biggest improvement a team takes is between week one and week two, where they can break down the film. And I think that going against the Boise State defense was no easy task, but you've got a lot of new wide receivers and a new quarterback with Andrew Maxwell in terms of starting. And I think those guys will settle down, but you're right, whether it takes kind of some short passing plays and things to kind of get in a rhythm, that'll be better, because we know that the running game is ready to be the rhythm and be the force and be the core of this team if needs be.
Okay. Hey, Jillian, I want to thank you for joining me and coming on and talking sports with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you. We talk at the press conference. I hadn't had you on the air yet, but no, it's good. I'll be having you back on again, and we'll talk more sports.
Well, thank you, Earl. It's my radio debut, so I appreciate your role in that.
Okay, well, thank you. Glad you could come on. We'll talk to you next time, Jillian.
All right. Talk to you,
Earl. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Jillian Van Stratt from SpartanMag.com, talking sports with us, talking football. Jillian knows her football, I can tell you that. She really knows her football well, so it's good having Jillian on, and we'll get her back on again and talk sports with you right here on AM 870. 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
As the school year gets underway, the debate grows. Is football safe for kids? Kim Dean coaches young players and says the culture of the game is part of the problem.
We celebrate hard hits. Unfortunately, we do.
Now, some suggest that a ban is the only solution. I'm Neil Conan, safety and high school football. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our forecast for the rest of the afternoon calls for partly sunny skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. We'll see a high topping out in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-60s. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms until midday Wednesday. Then the rain is likely in the afternoon with a high in the mid-80s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's go back to the phones. We've got Ray on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Pretty good. You, Earl?
Okay.
Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah.
Earl, I feel like I'm on an island again. Everybody is going crazy over Alabama. Everybody I talk to. I don't see it, Earl. They played a Michigan team that has no defense and don't even know what the word defense means. And Michigan's coaching staff did not use their weapon. Alabama is not as good as Michigan made them look. I just want to hear your take on it.
Well, I thought that I figured that, just as you know, most people thought that Alabama was going to win and win it handily, and basically they did. I thought the Michigan really actually played a little bit better than what was said during the game. Alabama's got some great defensive backs. They bottled up Denard Robinson, but his passes weren't that bad. A lot of them were close to being on the money, and defensive backs just knocked them away. And I expect to see Denard and Michigan get better in the coming weeks in the passing game, because they won't face many defensive backfields like that. The one they face at Alabama may be the best one. I mean, Michigan State will give them a tough time up front. But, I don't think they'll face too many teams like Alabama. Alabama was really good, and that's the thing. They got so many good players down there. They just have so many good players. And all Nick Saban does is just reload, because he knows they got a lot of great players in Alabama. And just like we know, a lot of kids from Michigan, they move south, and not all of Alabama, but they've got kids from Alabama down there. So, Alabama's really, Nick doesn't have to leave the state. He can just get 20 of the best kids from the state of Alabama, which he usually does, and that's great for them. And I can't see Alabama falling off anytime in the near future.
I don't see them falling off, but I'm going out on the limb. I'm giving Alabama 3 losses this season, because they showed me nothing that made me believe that they are as great as everybody say they are. Their offense can be dealt with when they run into a disciplined defense.
Oh yeah.
And Michigan's defense, it wasn't there last year, even though they won all those games. They had no defense last year, and it's not there this year. And if they get their offense together, they'll have an okay season, but they're not going to have a 10-game winning season this year.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Their schedule is extremely tough.
Yeah, that's the thing. Their schedule is tough this year. So, and I'm a Michigan fan. You know, that's my number one college football team is Michigan. But I just don't see, I mean, everybody I've talked to over the past few days, they're saying, man, leave town, leave the country. We don't like the way you think. I say, well, that's why you play games. That's why seasons are long. We'll all see.
Yep. Yeah, we will. And you may be right. They may not, you know, they could win. We know one thing is, I know you, and I've talked with other people around here, basically, Michigan is like Michigan State was in their first couple, when Mark D'Antonio first came in, those first 2 years. They hardly have any depth, and that's a killer for them. And with Michigan having so little depth, against other teams, that could be a problem. And, Michigan has got good players. He's recruited well. I mean, this is only a second class. So it's going to take him. It's going to take him another year or two to get the kind of program, get the kind of players in there that he wants. And Michigan has always recruited well, and even in Rich Rod's era, they recruited well, and they're still recruiting well. But it's just going to take them time to get players in there that can do the job.
Yep.
We know fans don't have that much patience, but they almost don't have any choice because he's going to build it the right way.
Exactly. You know, you've got to give this guy 5 years to get his feet on the ground and get planted in there and get that right defense in that system. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen in 3 years. He's going to need a full 5 years to get all that together.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, well, I just wanted to hear your opinion, and thanks.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Talk to you later, buddy. And give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Aaron, what's your thoughts on Michigan on that game? Michigan played a good game against just a superior team, a superior college team. Alabama is just a... I talk with my buddy Drew Sharp, and, he's a big SEC guy, and all I did was just solidify everything he says about the SEC.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get into the SEC because I don't know. I mean, I know the teams, but I don't know enough about them to really give a full opinion. But, I expected that game to go about the way it did. Frankly, I'm surprised Michigan got 14 points, but Michigan didn't have a defense last year, and they don't have a defense this year. I don't know where people are thinking that they're ranked eighth. It blows my mind how that even happened. And, I want Michigan to win. I do. But you got to be real, and the fact that they're even ranked eighth is beyond me.
They were ranked eighth because they had such a good year last year.
Yeah, I know. Basically. But that was a bogus year. Come on. The offense, I don't understand some of the play calling that they did. Robinson, I think he had two rushes. He only had a couple rushes or something. They didn't utilize him real well. Granted, they probably didn't want to injure him, and he went down a couple times. Thankfully, I think he was fine, but he got bruised up pretty good that game. They didn't do great play calling, probably because they figured they probably couldn't run with them against that defense.
Yeah, that defense,
obviously, I understand they didn't have their main running back, so that probably hindered that a little bit. The passing game, besides that one big play, it wasn't really once Alabama knew they were going to win, they probably let up a little bit, but. Yeah, that Michigan team didn't look too good, but, it is college. Everyone always improves. Every team does. So as far as what Ray was saying about Alabama, it's an SEC team. Just like any other team, they're going to improve too. So whether or not they have three losses, I don't know about that. I don't know their schedule off the top of my head, but I would argue that they'll be at the top as they usually are. But Michigan will improve. They do have a tough schedule, but they also got some games that, should be shoe-ins for wins. But assuming they stay healthy and that they improve, I expect 9-10 wins out of them probably.
Yeah, I expect them. They will definitely improve. I mean, you know, it's a long season, and it's only the first game. And yes, it's against a top 10 team. Alabama, we should mention, Alabama moved up to number one in the AP poll. They were second last week. As many people know, they were number two. Now they're number one. They had 45 first place votes and 11 first place votes. USC had 11 first place votes, and LSU had 4 first place votes. So they are still strong, and they are now officially the number one team in the land off that one game against Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason that they're even number one is because they played Michigan, which was ranked 8th. I mean, if Michigan wasn't ranked, they wouldn't be number one. USC would still be number one, probably, but, you know, because USC played Hawaii, and, well, that was a blowout as well. So, you know, rankings this early in the season, yes, they help, but it really doesn't define a team. Sure, Alabama's ranked first, but that doesn't mean that they're the best team in the country. I mean, it's one game. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and so rankings I don't take too much into consideration right now. Although I will say this, it helped Michigan, though, that they did play Alabama this early in the season.
Right.
If you're going to take a loss, take it early in the season and against a great team.
Oh, for sure, because that should help you down the line in the upcoming weeks. That's for sure. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, Michigan will get better during the season. Going up against that really good team, that helped him. That's for sure. Hey, let's go to the phones, and we've got Dennis on the line. Dennis, how you doing?
Good. Or how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, listen, I gotta dispute Ray a little bit and your co-host there. As far as Michigan's defense goes, Earl, the improvement they made last year under Madison is almost miraculous. They were 107th in scoring defense in 2010. They were 6th in the nation in scoring defense last year. Now, the biggest, any way you slice it, that's a dramatic improvement when you're the top 10 in scoring defense in the country after being one of the very worst.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, objectively, that's just numbers.
Yeah.
The biggest fear going into that game, though, was Alabama's offensive line against Michigan's defensive line, which only returned one starter, and Alabama having 3 All-Americans and 4 projected first-rounders. And to me, that's where the game was lost for Michigan. They just couldn't
handle those guys.
In the trenches on both sides of the ball, really, mm-hmm. but particularly on the defensive line against Alabama's offensive line. I did go down there, Earl.
Oh, okay.
It was an amazing venue. Everything you hear about Jerry World is true, probably a little bit more. Anything that you can imagine for fan amenities and comfort and entertainment, it's there. Food prices are a little high. You and I both being popcorn fans, I ran right to the popcorn stand. They wanted $10 for a little, you know, what you get at the movie theater for 4. So
wow.
I'm like, nah, I won't be eating popcorn here. But I don't think that you're going to be able to measure what Michigan's going to do in the Big Ten until you see a few more games. Because this Alabama team, I think to your point, Earl, is just superior. We're not going to see anything like that the rest of the year.
No.
And what they do against Air Force and UMass and then Notre Dame is probably more telling than this Alabama game. But we'll find out. I don't think the defense is going to be as good as it was last year, but it's still going to be one of the better ones in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And the offense, of course, is going to come around. So we'll see.
Yeah, cause, you know, as you know, they're just thin. They're just thin. They don't have a lot of depth in this team. I mean, like I said, they're like Michigan State was when D'Antonio first got the job those first couple of years when he had to redshirt everybody and he was able to field up everybody through redshirts. And it's almost like they're the same. I mean, he's got to have to bite the bullet sometime and just redshirt a whole class. You know, it's hard to win playing freshmen. I mean, we see that more and more. The freshmen and sophomores, it's hard to win with those guys. You really need juniors and seniors out there.
Yeah, you're right. They've got to mature. They're very young. I think they took, it was, I can't remember if the number is 17 or 12 true freshmen, and 10 of them played. That's very thin. That's very young. It's going to improve in years to come, but right now they can't afford injuries. They can't afford, and they had a key injury happen with Blake Collins, the starting quarterback, the best quarterback they have, and You know, they're just thinner, to your point. So, Michigan fans, don't jump off the bridge. It'll be all right. Alabama is going to do a lot of teams that way. I mean, Michigan got more yards against Alabama than LSU did in either game. So, you know, hang in there. All right, Earl.
Okay. Talk to you later, Dennis. And Ray from Fort Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm very happy after Alabama put a good spanking on his arrogant Michigan Wolverines. You know, they are prideful, arrogant people. You know, David Brandon said a bunch of things to me, lied like crazy, took away my season tickets. I'm 63 years old, 61 years old when they run me off a bus, took the trespassing charge. I wouldn't give me back my season tickets. You know, I just can't wait for four or five more spankings. You know, you haven't beat Michigan State, Michigan in five years in a row in your history. I'm just praying to God you'll put a good whipping on them again this year.
Well, they might. I mean, it's hard to say, but they might. I mean, State's got a lot of veterans, and
you got a better defense than they do. If you can get your quarterback to come around, quit turning the ball over so much, you'll beat them when you go down to Ann Arbor.
Well, you know, that was the first game. Everybody's going to be improved by game five or so. So we'll see improvement on both sides. That's for sure.
I just can't believe how arrogant and prideful those people are down there. Nope. I never dreamed of it. I never later missed a game in 18 years. They fired me for a blessing about my mother. Then they revoked my season tickets and ran me out of town like a criminal. And I've spent over $100,000 on tickets down there. How did you think I felt?
Yeah, well, you had to feel pretty bad, that's for sure.
They got a new song out, Matthew West, for Forgiveness. Have you heard it yet?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. Talks about loving the unlovable, reaching the unreachable. You know how many people are like that, right? And how you have to forgive people even when they don't deserve your forgiveness, because God forgive us.
Yeah.
And how God can do the possible thing by changing people's heart. Well, Matthew West came out 6 weeks ago, the one that sings the song.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm dedicating this song to the lady that had 8 years of bitterness. A drunk driver killed her daughter in Florida. He got 22 years in prison, okay? Mm-hmm. And her daughter was 20, the one that died. After 8 years of bitterness, she told God, I can't take anymore. He said, you go to the jailhouse and tell that man you've forgiven him. Now, wouldn't that be harder if that was your child or grandchild?
Oh, yeah, it would be. It would be hard.
Sir, she not only forgave him, she got him saved, got him out of jail 11 years earlier. Next month, they're going to go out and talk to children about drinking and driving and the consequences of it. And, sir, I drank for 30 years. I got 10 friends that are alcoholics that have died and 10 that don't want nothing to do with me because I'm serving God now instead of the devil. And they're going to also talk to children about forgiveness, true forgiveness. You know, sir, if we all truly forgived each other, we wouldn't have 3 to 4 people in the street dying every day of somebody killing somebody because they got bullied. Just because the other person's mean, Earl, don't mean you have to be mean.
Well, that's for sure.
That's why I'm praying for those people. They need to get rid. They need to get humbled. And I hope you guys humble them when you play them, okay?
Okay.
God bless you, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later, Ray. Bye-bye. I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling today. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, people have different reasons why they're upset or why they hope, you know, whether they're fans of a school or not. And, you know, everybody, you know, we all have, every school has their fans. And as you know, Aaron, some are a lot more biased than others, but that's just part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But you know what? I think some people... Well, not some, I think a lot of people forget to realize that this is just a game. You know, if the game got canceled, life goes on. You know, it's different if you get fired or something like that. But the reality is it's just a game. And if it doesn't happen, you or I, someone like us, aren't out of a job. We can still continue living. But, you know, everyone's got their reasons to get upset about something from whatever team it was, whether it's Michigan, Michigan State, Alabama, whoever. You know, everyone's got their reasons to get upset. And sometimes I think, you know, people get a little upset over the wrong reasons. But you know, everyone's different and they all got their say.
Yeah, and everyone's entitled to their opinion and what they say about each and every team is. As we know, is some of the teams we look at, yes, some of these teams are very good. And some of these teams aren't as good as some teams aren't as good as they think they are, that's for sure. But a lot of them are that good, and we'll just continue to evaluate them and look at them, and we'll just see how they'll do. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. Come back and join us tomorrow here on AM 870 WKAR and talk sports with us right here on WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2:00 right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And we want to thank you all for, again, calling and, again, coming by and chatting with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So once again, want to thank you for joining us, and come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.